Today we're going to cover two parables that have no explanation. Jesus shares the parables, but he does not interpret. Other times in Scripture, he shares a parable and then he explains it to them. For some reason, in these two, it is assumed we already know how to answer and what the parables mean. Both these parables are about seeds, okay? Seeds. Everybody say seeds.
Seeds.
Louder.
Seeds.
All right. This is two parables about seeds. And I'm not a farmer. I was born in inner city Denver. I am a city slicker. I'm no good at ranching and farming. And it's funny because now I run one. Which is, God has a sense of humor. But Special K Ranch, where I work, does have a lot of seeds, okay? We have like dozens of varieties of flowers that we grow. And so I went this week to our greenhouse storage and I found a bunch of seeds. And I fully intended to hand them out to everybody here today. But there are so many different kinds, it overwhelmed me. We also have a garden area, and so all the garden seeds, you know, a corn seed, I mean, so many different kinds. I knew I was preaching about seeds this weekend, so I was reminded that the smallest seed at Special K Ranch is a sagebrush seed. And I know most of you are trying to get rid of sagebrush. We're growing sagebrush at Special K Ranch. Actually, we have a contract with the Bureau of Land Management that after there's a major fire on BLM land, they use our grown sagebrush to replenish the land, which is so funny to me. And last year, Special K grew 50,000 sagebrush. And they're worth $3 each. And I'm thrilled about that. You math people are going, $150,000? That's exactly right. And so then I go to the scriptures about seed, and I remember that a lot can come out of the smallest seed. And actually, there's commands in the Bible of how we're supposed to be like those tiny little seeds. Lisa's going to read to you from Mark chapter 4, the first parable. Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29.
He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come."
What? He assumes we understand that? All right, first of all, what is a seed, everybody? We learned that last week. What's a seed? It's the Word of God. Hey, so a man scatters the word of God. I've been thinking all week, how do I explain this to everybody? And I'm going to give a vivid example of how to do that and then work into what I'm about ready to do. This is an audience participation time of the service. And you'll understand as we go along here, okay? So we have a father who in his family scatters the word of God. In fact, his kids don't even know it, but he prays for his kids before they're even born. How many did that for their kids in here? Okay? Prays for the kids before they're born. And when they're little, he tries to point them to Jesus, and he scatters the word of God. So, Dad, would you stand up? All right. Before the service, they had no idea they were going to be involved in this little thing. Yeah. Then the child is born, and he holds that child, and he just loves the child with everything he is, and he scatters the seed, right? And he gives her a name, and the name you gave her?
Charlie.
But his goal is that someday Charlie would know Jesus, and he wants to get Charlie to Jesus. The scripture says that farmer sows the seed, and then he goes to bed. And he doesn't understand everything going on, but somehow the seed does stuff, and it germinates, and it grows, and it's beyond him how it happens. But there's always a mom. And what does she do? She prays for Charlie. Because the prayer of a righteous woman is powerful and effective. Amen. Dads aren't as good at that as moms are. Hey, we got other things to not think about. They want to get her to Jesus. And they go to bed, and somehow God is continually working. Because into her life comes a neighbor. And what does a neighbor do? A neighbor sees the child and just loves them and gives them cookies or whatever. So are there any true neighbors you have in here? Hey, who?
We kind of live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Who's a close by within 20-mile neighbor, okay? How about way in the back? Would you come here? Yeah. Now you're regretting raising your hand, aren't you? Hey. Parents are sleeping, and a neighbor somehow is involved, and a neighbor keeps trying to point the child to Jesus. So you're going to come stand right here, and the child actually progresses, okay? And you're moving down the chain. Do I have any nursery workers in the room? People that worked in the nursery at church? Not one. Okay. Oh, yeah. Do you mind? You don't have to say a word, but this is part of the vivid illustration. And the seed had been sown, and you're just reinforcing the seed, and you're looking after, and look at this. All of a sudden, you didn't know it, but she's closer to Jesus. And you don't know how this is going to go. None of us can predict the future. But this is exactly what we prayed for, that other people would help stand in the gap. Are there any Sunday school teachers here? Sunday school. All right. Oh, they're acting like they don't even see you right now.
Yes, she does.
Which is, come on up here. All you got
there's
to do.
Plenty of them in here, I'm sure. But yes, Miss Wendy.
Wendy, please. Please. Thank you, Wendy. Thanks for volunteering. That is just wonderful.
We love you.
And look at this. She loves the kids like they're her own, right? And it's exactly the way the church should operate. It's what your church does. And finally, she reaches the first step. So go ahead and put her on the first step. Because the Sunday school teacher scatters the seed and continues to help it grow, right? The soil, somehow at some point, is a little more ripe. And some things are going on. Maybe germination happens, and it's a wonderful picture. Okay, any VBS workers in here? Ooh, come on over.
I know you wanted to.
Yeah. Go to the second step, and VBS happens. I am of the opinion that VBS could very well be the most important week in a church year. It is amazing. What happens at VBS? And look at this. Pointing the little one to Jesus. Right, Charlie? It's wonderful. And every one of them love you. Mm-hmm. Love you, love you, love you. Just wonderful. There's a worship team at church. Do I have any worship team members here today? Hey? I know you're worried. Get up here, Jack. Go to the third row. And every week we do this. We worship. We worship Scripture. We worship through Scripture by singing Scripture, and just keeps passing her along and involving her. And then there's a youth pastor, and I'm not going to make him come up here. Okay? And we're just getting closer and closer to Jesus, right? So come on back this way. All right. I got to look at my list here. Any other mentors? Yeah.
Christmas program.
Yeah. Directors. Is there any Christmas program directors here? I think it's a very pointed question. Yeah. Yeah, come on up here. All of a sudden, the parents look up, and this is out of their control. And the child is even closer to Jesus. And it's a thing of beauty. But not one of these people can save her. Can they? We're just supposed to do what? We're supposed to scatter seed. And then some of us water, some of us cultivate, some of us take the weeds out. We all have our little part. The soil produces grain, the stalk grows, the head develops, the full kernel in the head. We have grandparents involved. This is the exact chain that I'm referring to. You called out two people who had a difference in your life spiritually. And this is what this scripture is saying. And then I don't know how it happens, but somehow she reaches out to Jesus from her heart. It's not magic. It's God's grace. And she receives his free gift of grace with just a tiny seed of faith. And he saves her. That's what this scripture means. Is that cool? You ever going to forget this? Now, here's what my challenge to some of you. Get involved in the chain somewhere. Do your little tiny part to point the kids to Jesus. And at the right time, just like happened last week, grace and faith collide and eternal salvation occurs. Let's give God the praise and glory, okay? Good job. You are loved. You are loved, Charlie. Scripture says, with many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he later explained everything. Pretty cool. Our second seed one of the week, honey. You ready? This is Mark chapter 4, verse 30. The sermon is well over half done. Here we go.
Again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand.
I raided my wife's cupboard. I found some mustard seeds. I don't think these are Middle East mustard seeds because they're very large. The smallest seed in the Middle East in that day would have been the mustard seed. I was racking my brain. I don't even know what mustard is for other than to put on hamburgers. Is it like flavor? What is it, honey? A spice? Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I understand that in the Middle East, the smallest mustard seeds produce plants that are 10 feet tall. Now, when we were there, we didn't see them, but 10 feet tall. The smallest seed has the biggest potential. We see reference in Scripture three times to mustard seed faith, because that's what the Scripture is about. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, just a tiny bit, it doesn't take a lot. Three times in Scripture. I was very, very interested in these three times. We see the reference to mustard seed first in Matthew 17, where Christ's disciples are unable to exorcise a demon from a young boy. This one bothers me. He gave them the authority. They're walking in his spirit, and they can't get the demon out of. And he says, you will, but they don't. He had given them the authority to do this very thing. And they go back with their tails between their legs, all humbled, and they ask Jesus, what happened? Why couldn't we drive the demon out? And Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. He says, I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. In one way, this scripture is extremely encouraging to me, that if even the disciples had moments in their journey where their faith was not large enough. Because I've had moments in my journey like that. I don't know about you. They're called kids. That's let's just shoot straight, okay? My faith lacked at times in the journey. And I guess theirs did as well. But he said, you have so little faith. Remember that word little, if you would, okay? It's not the same word when they describe if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. Actually, the interpretation of those two words is completely different. If you were to go to the original languages, there's a word for little and there's a word for small. They're not the same word. The second time in Scripture where there's mustard seed faith is in Luke 17. Jesus tells his disciples, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. What? Now, I'm a literal interpreter of the Bible. I take Scripture literally as often as I can. If Scripture says a certain thing happened a certain way, I take it literally. There's so many examples of my literal interpretation of the Bible. In these cases, though, these are figurative. We don't even live by the sea. I can't say, you know, to the plant, be uprooted and be planted in the sea. But it's giving us examples of what can happen if we have just small faith, a small seed of faith. So the third one, of course, is today's scripture, mustard seed faith. It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth, Jesus said. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. Little is much when it comes from God. God is not interested in the quantity of your faith. All he needs is a little bit of quality. Just a tiny mustard seed of faith in him. And that is enough. I don't know what you're going through. I know there are people in this room today, there would have to be, who are having a crisis in their faith. I want to remind you that even a shred of faith remaining is plenty in God's hand. Don't you give up. You keep searching his word. You keep talking to other people. God is always working. He's working in your life, whether you realize it or not. But do you have today little faith or small faith? And this is our closing already. Little faith is what Thomas had. Unless you show me the holes in his hands and feet, I will not believe. That's where the word little is used. It's a weak lack of faith. Little faith is when the disciples were at sea and the sea was roaring, okay? And their faith didn't last long in that case. And I'm not sure mine would have either. I would have been choking my chicken out there on the sea, calling out for Jesus, okay? But it's little faith. Scripture actually says people with little faith should not expect to receive anything. Those aren't my words. If you have little faith, you shouldn't expect to receive anything. But small faith is genuine belief. And that's the kind of faith that a mustard seed faith is. A small faith is those who have genuine belief. That widow who went and put in the 2 pennies, that God was going to take care of her. I personally thought that was gigantic faith, but in Scripture, it's just a small faith. If you put in small amounts, he will take care of you. The centurion, whose child back home was dying, came to Jesus, and Jesus says, I don't see this kind of faith anywhere in Israel. None of the Jews have this kind of faith. And he rewarded that small amount of faith with the centurion. Lisa and I have been to the actual tabernacle that centurion built in Israel. It's in what town, honey? Capernaum is exactly. She's so good. I tell you what, she's so good. Capernaum is a place where the tabernacle, is that what it's called? Still stands. The actual walls built by that centurion. We got to sit inside that place and worship Jesus and remember the small faith of that centurion. How about the small faith of that bleeding woman? You don't tell me she wasn't distraught, worn out, exhausted over a long period of time of that bleeding disease, whatever it was. She was anemic. She was pale. She suffered for a long, long time. It took a small faith to go up and just sneak a touch. And what would it have been like for her when Jesus said, whoa, 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 stop right here. Who just touched me? And his disciples going, man, there's people everywhere. There are people touching you all the time. He said, no, someone touched me. And he knew exactly what he meant. And he talks to her in a loving way. He doesn't say these words, but this is exactly what I took of it. He says, I know you. I know what you've been through. I completely understand. You did the right thing by coming here today. You came up and no one else had courage, but you did. And all you knew that just a small touch, and you believed that that would be enough, and it was, and I heal you. And that I want to see the DVD of that thing. It must have been amazing. What do you have today? Are you struggling with little faith? Do you have doubts and fears and bad thoughts? Or could you literally transition to small faith the size of a mustard seed? Because Scripture says in several places, that's all you need. Go ahead and close your eyes, okay? Just a time between you and God right now. Talk to Him in your own mind. Reach out to Him. Don't be ye of little faith. Have the kind of faith that is small as a mustard seed, that grows to a plant that is 10 feet tall. Lord, we need you. continue to work as only you can. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And God's people said,